Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello, everyone.
Each week we try to bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode number 131 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, we are well into the new year. We are, approaching moving into February all of a sudden. Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Yeah, so I actually made a comment to my sister the other day. I was like, man, I know I'm going to regret this come June. But I feel like this has been the longest January of my life.
Really?
Yeah. But it's just like, it's like, oh, it's June 1st. It's June 7th. It's June 17th. It's like today's June 23rd. Like, I feel like it's, or not, did I say June all those times? I meant January.
June. You said June.
Yeah. So anyways, I meant January. But nonetheless, I just feel like it's been the longest month of in a long time. But like I said, I think it will come June when it's like, oh man, half of 2022 is already over. Yeah. I will regret saying that.
Yeah, time flies for sure when you look back. So we are joined by a special guest today. Mr. Tovin is here. T-H-O-V-E-N, laying in the floor.
Tovin.
Resting after he got his recheck exam today by me after eating, was it 15 cupcakes? Last night?
I think it was 18.
18 cupcakes.
Yeah.
So
little counter surfing.
Yeah. So he had a little bit of vomiting induced to get rid of most of the bakery goods there last night. And he's doing fine today, but a little bit exhausted from his eating escapade. So welcome, Tovin. Feel free to jump in whenever you have anything to say. So.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to contribute a whole lot. That's his normal everyday.
Weather,
attitude.
Weather update. I think Dr. Reese sent me, I think I was out of town, and she sent me that the weather rock was covered with white snow. That was last weekend?
It was. And so didn't quite say it's covered in white snow. She said that the weather rock is white.
Is white. Okay.
Which indicates.
Indicates snow.
We must have snow in the area.
So that was crazy. Snow Sunday, kind of into Monday, and then somewhat melted off. Wasn't too disrupted this time. Mm. I mean, started late, ended early, but do you remember, has it been 3 or 4 years ago when we had to shut the clinic down for almost a week and you and I came in and took care of all the animals?
Yes, I do remember that. I don't know if that was the Snowmageddon. I think it might have been Snowmageddon.
Snow and ice and just nobody could get out or didn't want to get out. And so I was super happy that this past trip, our past snowstorm, was very short and abrupt. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, I have a couple of things. So I think it's only correct if we talk about Miss Betty White.
I would agree.
And her passing. So she died at 99 years old.
I was going to say, wasn't it like she was maybe a week or thereabouts short of turning 100 years old?
Yeah, so she died on New Year's Eve. And I think her birthday was like early January. Let's see, I could probably find that information. January 17th.
Okay. So not too far away. A few weeks and a few days. So she, as most everybody knows, was a huge advocate for animals, I guess is the best way to say it, whether they were rescued or not.
Yeah.
Can you think of anybody else who is on that level?
So let me say, right? So like I definitely knew before Betty White's passing that she was an animal advocate, right? But just the outpouring of people commenting on how much she did for animal welfare across different agencies, right? So like wildlife, apparently she was also like an honorary forest ranger with Smokey the Bear, zoo animals, domestic animals. I mean, if it was an animal, she advocated for it.
Yeah.
And so it's really kind of, interesting to see that people didn't commend her so much when she was alive, but only after she passed. And I know that sounds terrible, but like, that's, I just see it on typical. Every site, every group that I follow. I've seen her pictured with dachshunds. I've seen her with her own golden retriever dog. It's just, it's interesting, but she did advocate quite a bit, but I think it's somewhat human nature.
It is human nature. I mean, memorializing her and what her, you know, what she did in her life's work, animals, her laugh, I think, was very distinctive. You know, I'm hearing about that and how she was always such an upbeat, happy person, in any and every situation. So, but yeah, the animal, part of it really dominated. I was just thinking of other people, like historically Bob Barker, Price is Right, right? Huge
the
advocate,
spay and neuter.
He would end his show every time.
Yeah.
The group American Humane, right? Huge activists. They have a lot of
celebrities.
I was gonna say stars. Didn't know what to say. But yeah, celebrities who kind of back them. And so, yeah, good for her. You know, obviously she was a great actress and I think a great person. And I think the world will miss her. So
speaking of the American Humane and the Hero Dog Awards, so Betty White actually served as a judge in 2011. That's and for cool. those of you that were paying attention back years ago, I actually participated in that as a winner myself in 2019. So
2019,
very
wow.
cool. It would have been cool to meet her, but I don't know that she was even in attendance at that time.
No, she was not there because I was at the event as well. So
hold on one second. Nice little sidebar. Apparently, her interest in animal welfare began in the early 70s when she was producing and hosting a syndicated series called The Pet Set, which spotlighted celebrities and their pets. Huh. So how crazy back in the 70s that they were making TV shows about celebrities and their pets.
Yeah.
I think that's crazy. Because back then it wasn't as common for people
it's normal.
Humanize, I guess, or have as many pets as we do now.
So let's talk about that. So this past week, actually one day in particular, I had, I think, 5 consultations for dogs that had torn their cranial cruciate ligament or ACL in a person. And 4 out of those 5 dogs were super anxious, super protective of their owner. They would crawl under their owner's feet. They were somewhat unsocialized. And we got into the conversation that it's probably, I feel like we've had a switch. It's probably more normal for a pet that comes in to us on a daily basis to have some type of anxiety or a behavioral issue than it is for them to be completely socialized.
Agreed.
And so, we haven't done the count, but I think, you know, well could be over 50%, especially these cases that we're seeing that have torn their ACLs. It's just, it's weird. It's crazy. And so it used to be one dog a week would come in that we would really struggle with trying to figure out the best way to handle them. But now we are, I guess, more aware and more comfortable, and we're using drugs such as trazodone to help with their anxiety. We are figuring out, do we separate them from the owner? Do we not? You know, what is the environment that this pet does the best in? And so,
sure.
I don't know. It was just kind of weird. And the reason is kind of what you were saying back in the 70s, you know, how popular was it for a person to have a pet that, I guess, was in the house, you know, truly a pet? We've talked about this before. Pets have gone from being, dogs and cats. I'm going to go dogs, not cats were never farm animals, but dogs have gone from the barn to the doghouse to the backyard to inside the house, and now they're in the bed. And so, I guess long story short is we have humanized them so much, which is great, except that they're not humans. And so we are having to, quote unquote, deal with some of these issues, and especially with COVID, we just kind of have a new quote unquote breed of patient coming through the door these days.
Yeah.
So challenging, but very rewarding as well, because we are able to do so much for most of these pets, and the people that love them, you know, are really wanting to take care of their healthcare needs.
So that's interesting that you say. So according to the AHA News stat, more than 23 million American households adopted a new pet during the pandemic. I know we've talked about that
23
before.
23 million.
But that is an insane number when you think about it. More than 23 million American households adopted a new pet. So that's not like first-time pet owners, but there are so many first-time pet owners in that number. It's unreal.
And so let's go. First time pet owners who have not owned a pet, have not experienced going into an animal hospital, combine that with the internet.
Right.
And so now, if I'm a new pet owner and my pet, whatever, fill in the blank, has this lesion or this disease or this clinical sign, I'm going to go online, I'm going to research it, and now I'm going to go oftentimes to the veterinarian, and I feel like I have this wealth of knowledge. And I really don't have that relationship with the veterinary staff at this point, so sometimes that's a recipe for disaster with us.
Sure. I mean, I would think that with any practice as well. However, some people, they just don't know. So we had a young lady call a couple, maybe a week ago, and I answered the phone and she said that she needed to bring her pet in for grooming. And so further down the conversation, they were new clients. She had never had a pet before. This is a Shih Tzu, and she took it for grooming because the hair was knotted. In her terms, she took it for grooming to Petco and they refused grooming on the dog and told her that she needs to seek grooming at a veterinary hospital.
Because why?
So, A, because the dog was uncomfortable with the mats being trimmed out. And so I believe at Petco they are limited on their restraint and it's only usually one person per pet.
They can't sedate. They don't.
Yes, exactly. And then also, the groomer told her that potentially there could be a skin infection underneath the mat or irritation from when they clip the mats out. So there was a lot of education that had to go into the phone call with that lady. But then also, when she came in, I think our staff did a really good job about educating her about vaccines and heartworm prevention and flea and tick control and all these things she didn't know, because she essentially adopted this dog from a shelter that was already, quote unquote, vaccinated and altered. And so I just find it interesting. So I think there's a ton of misinformation out there, but I also think there's a lack of
Lack of
information.
information. I mean, it's out there, but yes, it's yes.
Yeah.
That is one of the big roles that we have, is to try to make the best recommendation for the healthcare needs of the pet, right?
Yeah. So going back to that article from AHA, one of the biggest things were that the title states basically like these 23 million American households brought their pet in to their house, but they weren't budgeting for it. And so,
That leads into what I had something to talk about. Do you recall what historically the lifetime spend on a an average pet would be on the life the that
yes,
you,
the
what am I
life,
trying to say?
yes, the
What it costs
average
to take care of your
spend
pet
of a pet over its
over its
lifetime.
lifetime?
Yes.
$17,000 historically was like $15,000 to $17,000,
Yes.
and I'm going to say 3, 4, 5 years ago, that was the figure being tossed out. Do you have
Yes.
the same numbers in front of you that I have? Do you know what it is now?
I do have numbers based off of this article, and I don't know where you got your numbers from, but these are saying that, and this is based on a study from the Lifetime Care Study, and they basically just surveyed 1,200 pet owners, 100 veterinarians, and they said that the cost of owning a pet is anywhere between $20,000 to $55,000 for a dog and $15,000 to $45,000 for cats. Is that the same numbers
That's
that you
the
had?
numbers I have as well, and so
Yeah.
that's crazy. That's a crazy number.
Yeah. So going in a little bit further with this study, so it says that one in three pet owners will face an unexpected pet expense that causes them financial worry, which I would agree. And quite frankly, that could be anything from like vomiting, diarrhea, to my dog has pancreatitis, to my dog got hit by a car. So financial worry, especially right now as the market is changing, it could be just as simple as a couple $100 versus a couple $1,000.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that is a big deal. I think most people don't budget for the healthcare of the pet. And
I would
so,
agree.
for us, we see every day, a dog coming in that needs to be hospitalized for vomiting, diarrhea, whatever the case may be, and the bill is going to be $6, $8, $12, $15, $1,800, and we just see that every day. So we're a little bit immune to thinking that's a big number, but I think if we flip the script as individuals that work in the hospital and look at, could I put down a $2,000 deposit tomorrow for my sick pet in the hospital? Many of us wouldn't do that. So that's probably one of a big recommendation we could make would be to budget in some form or fashion and or really strongly consider a pet health insurance plan to take care of your pet. Because, again, we're talking, they're not, most of these dogs aren't, quote unquote, just dogs anymore. They're members of the family.
Exactly. So, again, going back to the article, it states that 7 out of 10 pet owners responded that their pet is a member of their family.
7 out of 10, okay.
7 out of 10. So, I mean, that's significant. But at the same rate, like, the article also suggests, you know, that people should budget and plan for that or have a backup credit card that they could use. Pet insurance, as we've discussed before, it's most of them are still reimbursement policies. So you have to spend the money and then get the money back to you. So you have to have the money to spend it in the first place.
Is Trupanion the only company?
I don't know about only, but that's the only company that we
know of
have.
And we use that they can pre-approve and we get the funds guaranteed within a certain period of time. So.
Yes, exactly. So it's because we have a platform that we use with them. And so we are able to upload medical records directly to them. They're able to look at things, compare it to their policy that the pet has, and then grant the approval.
Right. They let us know, like, the pet owner pays, I guess, Trupanion covers typically 90%, so they'll let us know what they cover, and then we do the math and have the client. So that's kind of that's kind of a win-win situation for everybody except Trupanion, maybe. But really helps us out.
Yeah, for sure.
I was somewhat shocked. You interviewed a potential new hire this past week, and she worked at an animal hospital that is still curbside only.
Yes.
And I was shocked, but yet I wasn't, because it's a single doctor practice, is my understanding. And I guess, you know, we talked about when we were curbside only and how the transition, we were worried about transitioning back, and it was a real worry, and we had a little bit of struggle transitioning back to normalcy. We still offer curbside, but gosh, not
so
even
many,
one a day, right?
Yeah, but so many of our clients appreciate being able to come in with their pet. As we've discussed, right, the pets already have anxiety. And so for many pets, having their pet, having their owner there with them is comforting until we need to start, you know, prodding or examining, palpating, that kind of thing.
I felt like this particular hospital is probably making the wrong decision. And gosh, how hard is it going to be for them if they ever do go back to letting people in the building?
I mean, yeah, because at this point, it's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years, yes.
So, yeah, what does that look like, and how tolerant are your clients? I did read an article, and I don't have it here in front of me, but basically it's talking about the fact that the cost of living is going up, and basically veterinary practices have to raise their fees in order to pay their staff more and whatever. And by having higher fees, you know, you might get a little bit of pushback from your clients, but essentially right now, clients are looking for access. They're less concerned about price. They're more concerned about access.
Yeah.
Can I get in to see the veterinarian? Can my dog get fixed? Can he get better? That kind of thing. And so price is a secondary right now. Mm-hmm. But I think when the finances for people get a little bit tighter, the economy gets a little bit stricter, it will very much quickly turn. And I think these practices that are still doing curbside and stuff like that might actually feel the pinch more than other practices.
Because the lack of client service and
they're gonna...
there's really no culture there, right?
Because exactly.
Yep. Somebody, a technician comes out and gets the dog. Probably technician takes the dog back out, charges them out, boom, out the door. So, and for our profession, you know, many of us are quite introverted. And so, yes, the longer you stay behind those closed doors, the less likely you're going to want to see clients, you know, moving forward. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. On a similar but yet completely different note, COVID, I was surprised to hear, I don't remember if it was on the radio. I think it may have been on my phone or maybe it was on the television, but the South Pacific country of Tonga, to date, has only had one positive COVID case.
So, really weird, but is that where the Rock is from? I was trying to look it up, and my phone is not working.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, maybe his ancestors are. I don't know that he's necessarily from Tonga.
I'm going to look it up.
But it was just kind of weird that the country, and I think it was back in October, is when they had a traveler come, I believe, from New Zealand. And, you know, I didn't read it that carefully, but the interesting facts were, you know, only one case, everybody completely panicked, everybody got vaccinated. And I think the country is completely locked down and has been since then. So I wonder ultimately once this Omicron variant has infected and affected everybody in the U.S. and probably the rest of the world, are these isolated countries, what's going to happen whenever they do get exposed to the coronavirus? So interesting. Did you find it yet?
Well, I think his mother was Samoan and his dad was African American.
Samoan. So. Okay.
It's actually, so Tonga is south of Samoa.
Okay. So general area.
Yeah, close.
So you brought to my attention the Gwinnett County dog fighting trainer.
Yeah, so this is pretty intense. I actually just happened upon this article from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and the more I read about it, it's obviously super local, which is why I continue to read. But Gwinnett County, which is the county that our practice is in, had charged a man for dog fighting. And basically, he is now forfeiting or paying over $115,000 and serving 5 years in prison, which currently in Georgia is the maximum to animal fighting.
Okay.
So,
do you know what the maximum for like animal abuse is? Is it going to be the same? Is this going to be similar?
I don't know. I think this is actually different than abuse or neglect, and I don't know why, but I do believe it's different because I think that there's like the gambling aspect of things, right? So like when you have like cockfighting or dog fighting, all of that stuff, I think it's a little bit different.
So evidently this guy, are we going to say his name?
I mean, we can if people want to know about it. But there was a kennel facility here in the Suwanee, Georgia area that was suspected to be involved with both dog fighting and cocaine distribution.
Cane Valley Kennels.
Yeah.
Do you know what breeds? Was it like Cane Corsos? That is what my mind immediately goes to.
I think I couldn't find that information. But it took me back to, do you remember Michael Vick?
Yes, I do.
He got convicted of dog fighting, or I guess maybe his was animal abuse when he had hung that pit bull dog.
Yeah, but it was dog fighting, so.
So I don't know. I think instantly people's brains, when you hear dog fight, they go to pit bulls. But with his name of his kennel, I did think Ken Corso's maybe.
Speaking of Michael Vick, so he's back on television now as a commentator, NFL, like nothing ever happened. So it's very strange, which everybody deserves a second chance.
I would agree. I would hope that he truly has changed life.
I'm sure he has, but it's just immediately when you say his name, that's where my mind goes. So this guy, it was right here local.
That's the scary part, right? And like I shared this article with my sister and I'm like, this is like terrifying in the sense that Gwinnett County is a really big county, but
right.
Suwanee is literally a stone's throw from where we're sitting right now. And to know that this is going on like right in our backyard, it's so terrifying and
disgusting.
This guy's
been doing this for 25 years, article reads.
Yeah. Interstate as well. So I believe Florida, Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
So good for the state of Georgia for prosecuting. I would, I guess, cautiously say that I don't necessarily think that his sentence is quite harsh enough, but that puts animals above people, in my thoughts.
Yeah.
But not necessarily above, but I don't think that necessarily you should get away with that, but I don't know.
So it reads, at his training facility, his last name was Vegas, had a variety of exercise equipment and other tools, including chains, a staple gun, and veterinary treatments for dogs injured in fights. He even prepared online pedigrees for dogs bred and trained in his kennels. So, yeah. Crazy stuff.
So what's even more crazy about that is it's mind blowing. Like literally, like if you have that cartoon where your just brain like puffs into a smoke cloud, that he was facilitating this and like distributing them to other people, and that this is going on still in other states, counties, probably still right here in Georgia.
Yeah, probably still there's more operations in Gwinnett County that we don't even know about.
Yeah. It's insane to me. But I digress.
All right. What else you got?
For the moment, that's about it. I do think, kind of going back to the whole, like, money in veterinary medicine and what people are spending on their pets, I'm kind of excited. We're going to VMG Congress in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And there's an economist there that we've heard speak a couple of times kind of about the state of the union or the state of the veterinary space, if you will, and right. what they project. So I'm really eager to hear what he has to say. But other than that, no, I mean, that's all I've got.
All right. Well, sign us out and we will hope to be back next week.
Ooh, we did forget one thing.
Ooh.
It's a happy birthday.
Oh, Dr. Reese's dad.
Yeah.
His name is Errol.
So I was actually
Which rhymes with Merrill.
Merrill.
So that was super interesting. Do you find it?
I didn't find it. I left it unread and everything and I can't find it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Hold on, listeners. Very important. Very, very important.
All right. Podcast shout out request. We could not disappoint because Dr. Reese has done a lot for us for our podcast with all of her research and that kind of thing. But she did ask us to wish her dad a very happy 80th birthday this week.
Dr. Errol Reese.
Yep.
Who
is retired from the CDC as a medical mycologist.
Yeah. So happy birthday, other Dr. Reese.
And apparently he likes black and white cats. I don't know if that means tuxedo or just black and white.
I don't know why. That's so random. That's so, okay. Well, that's great. Thanks, Dr. Reese.
Yes,
and happy
birthday
again, Dr. Errol Reese. All right, sign us out, please.
All right, guys. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Make sure to follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And make sure to check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Please, wherever you're listening to this podcast, hit subscribe. And know that you can always find our podcast on our website under our resource tab. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys.